We talked last week about who we are, where we're seated in Christ. And this week, we're going to still be in the book of John. That is our base. That's kind of our springform platform. But today, we're going to focus in on the church, the body of Christ in this setting. And it's so funny how life, everything, all the points that I'll be sharing to do, I've really had to live them this week again. New. But Chris and I came home, I think it was early last week, with a little posted note on our front door for a parcel. Except the parcel wasn't for us, but it was for a neighbor who lives two doors down. And we have lived with these folks, oh, I don't know, we've lived in Airdrie 37 years, so probably a good 30 years in the same neighborhood of this couple. And it reminded me of a conversation I had with the fellow, Bob, a couple of years ago. And he, when we moved across the street, then we were kind of next door neighbors. And one day he came walking up to me and he said, "You know, Chris, I've watched your family all these years." And I thought, "You've watched us?" And instantly I received what I normally don't have, and that is photographic memory. And what I remembered was shenanigans in our home on display for all the world to see. I will buy my son supper for this story, but I remembered William and his little friend having peeing contests on the front lawn. I remember myself calling in the kids in not the Norman Rockwell mother voice at all, but when my soft voice gets louder, it's really shriek. That's why sometimes I can't really get loud here, because you wouldn't like it. And I remember the one night, and this now, it's so funny, but poor Chris had an accident and wearing two casts on crutches. Of course, we had a dog for our children. He let him out at night. She ran away. And Chris is on crutches in the middle of the night, screaming at the dog to come in. And all the lights in the neighborhood, really, probably five lights went on. Everybody's saying, "Chris and Chris, are you okay? What's going on?" And all those things I remembered. But that's not what he said. He said, "I watched you. You have fun. You love each other." So in the midst of all of this, what I remembered as shenanigans, somehow God's love, the love of God, was observed. Crazy. But that is the Holy Spirit in us. So I thought, oh, we are being watched. I didn't realize this man watched us so very closely. You know, people see you. But he said, "I've watched you." And he gave us some incidents, and they were all positive. They weren't what I remembered and saw in Technicolor just pass right before my eyes. So with that, I would like us to talk about the verses, the part that speaks about I and them, you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and I have loved them as you have loved me. So I would like us to think about how we love each other. Not so much how we love the world. It's not about missions this Sunday or going out and being Christ, but the world does watch us. They observe us. And we are to love each other like Jesus and God. We are to have that oneness, that completeness. And that is not always, I don't want us to think about it as, okay, checklist. There is a checklist, but it isn't supposed to be a law-like checklist. You can't give anything that you don't have. And we need to be so full of the love of God that we can reflect that love back to others. How is that possible? Well, Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit, that infilling. And when he fills us up, we get filled with the right kind of fuel. Because sometimes we talk about love, and I use that word so much. I love the outfit you're wearing. I love the jam you made. I'm sure I'll love the jam you made, Nettie. And you know, I love the picture you posted on Facebook. But that is a love that is so based on our emotions. And emotions can be so very, very fickle. The love, the fuel that I'm talking about is the agape love, and we cannot manufacture it ourselves. There's absolutely no way. But we can be yielded to the Holy Spirit, and he can fill us up with that kind of love in such a way that we are able to receive that. Now, that is work. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we receive it in that situation instantly, but it also is something that we need to receive and ask and do something about. And that's the yieldedness I was praying about. In as we pray, as we study God's word, as we take the time, he will fill us and we will become more and more and more like him. The world will see that God lives in us, and that will cause others to have a glimpse of God. A glimpse of God. Jesus reflected God perfectly because he is God, but he has given us the same assignment. He said, go you into all the world, and our going about going into sometimes is just living our daily lives. How we treat our children, how we treat our spouses. And I will confess that Mr. Chris has been on occasion served up take it or leave it suppers. You know, like, take it or leave it, honey, I love you. Thankfully, it was just the two of us in the house and not anyone else that could hear that. But I know I've been cranky in the stores. I know we have been cranky at drivers when we're driving and just, or maybe even having a discussion amongst ourselves. And anybody driving past us could probably think, I wonder if they're going to church. You know, that kind of thing. So we are being watched. And if I just go by my feelings of, oh, I love you, because I do love them. But sometimes it's a decision, a choice, and that comes from my source. And the days that I know that I haven't operated that way is the days that I've probably taken a real big shortcut in being in God's word, allowing the Holy Spirit to fill me. And that filling, the Lord said, my burden, my yoke is easy. I think sometimes we do have to make it a habit. We do have to make it a habit. And sometimes it will be easier than other times. But in that sweetness, you will be filled with the right kind of fuel. And out of that love, I would say there are two actions that we can do that I want to really talk about today that will show the world that we love each other. And the two are forgiveness and service. So, John 3:16, we know this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So this filling up, this service, when we are filled up, we will be operating in this natural Christ-like love that we can do these things. But let's talk about forgiveness first. Forgiveness and love are tied together. In 1 Corinthians 13:4, it says, love is patient, love is kind, love thinks no evil, endures all things, and hopes all things. You know, the disciples wondered about this business of forgiving. In Matthew 18, we know that Peter came to Jesus and said, how many times should I forgive my brother? And Jesus gave him a math equation. And I thought, that's kind of funny that he would give him a math equation. But when you think about that, it talks about boundlessness, our being generous with others, being patient with one another's faults. And one of I realized so early on that forgiveness was hard for us to do, not only from my own life, but in my years as a preschool teacher. You know, the kids would accidentally ride over each other's little feet and hands or bump each other, and then they'd cry and it'd be drama, and we'd have to get the two together, and we'd often say, "Now, Chris, tell Chris that you're sorry." "I'm sorry." "Now, Mrs. Chris, say I forgive you." "I don't want to." Whoa. We realized so early on that saying, receiving that forgiveness, or saying, we would say, "I don't want to." And so often it is because we have that math list. Well, on a scale of 1 to 10, what you did to me was definitely a 100. And you've just asked my forgiveness on a level of a 10. That doesn't add up. So I can't forgive you because I think you're not really sorry. Or we think, you know, this is a habitual sin in your life. And so to help you as a brother or sister in Christ, I'm going to just let you wait on that a little bit, because I think the Lord still needs to work in you. Because now you've done this, well, maybe not 70 times 70, but maybe 7 times 10, and there's a pattern here. I have to help you. Well, that's not our job, right? Our job is to forgive one another. And when we do that, we allow the Holy Spirit to keep teaching us about the way God designed the new law that's written on our hearts. That law is designed to restore and heal. That kind of thinking reaches into the eternal. I'm not talking about things like being abused and running away from the home. I'm having to escape. I'm not talking about those kind of things. Those are hard issues to deal with. I'm talking about the ordinary things of life that cause us to unfriend one another on Facebook. Because we think, I can't be around critical people. Ding, you're gone. You know, like so often we think we do things and we are so justified in doing them, and really we're not. And social media is such a huge place that I think sometimes we don't even realize the impact of our words or our comments. And we can so often so easily click that button ourselves or make a comment, and we think, oops, maybe I shouldn't have done that, and quickly try to edit. I found myself editing some comments, sometimes thinking, people can't really see how I meant that right now, and that could cause offense. But let's, even on social media, show the world that we love each other, that even if we disagree on fundamentals, that we're not going to have an all-out war on Facebook, you know, and I know I don't believe anybody really is intending to do that, but I have friends who don't know Jesus on my Facebook friends, and everything I say and do, I know that they can see that. It's like a live news feed almost daily, and it's, you know, what we say and what we do and the images we post and how we treat one another, click, 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 click. You know, and we either collect likes, I don't know, there is no dislike button except an angry face, those kind of things. And I put an angry face on someone's Facebook, and that's what reminded me, why did you do that? You could have just not done that. You know, just, you don't even have to comment. Just pray about this. Like, seriously, Chris, take that angry button away, you know? So Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. He was the greatest example of forgiveness, for they know not what they do." And one thing to remember, when we are in conflict with one another, that we're not fighting flesh and blood. So often when you're in the middle of something and you think, how did I get there? It happened to me last Sunday night, and I thought, what just happened here? And then the Lord reminded me, you're not fighting flesh and blood in the other person's life and in your own life as well. Satan will come in and trick you into something. And then you're in conflict and you think, what? What just happened? And the enemy of our soul wants to keep us fighting one another and not him and his devices. So it's kind of so elementary. But I think when we, if we want to grow, and we do, and grow together in grace, we need to be patient, tender-hearted. That's that 70 times 7. Let's be patient. Believe that God is working in that person's life as much as he's working in your life. And that the Holy Spirit, if you don't think the Holy Spirit is working in their life, ask the Holy Spirit to do that. I don't think the Holy Spirit needs our crankiness to do that, or to remind other people that maybe they should be doing things a little differently. And when we walk in forgiveness, we're walking in Christ-likeness and unity. So I thought for us this morning, two things we could ponder. How much has Christ forgiven us? And when I ask you to do that, when I ask myself to do that, the writer Timothy Keller said it in such an amazing way. Don't do this with sorrow or condemnation, but with great joy, because you have received unconditional forgiveness. It is free grace, costly grace, but Jesus wants us to rejoice in the truth. Rejoice in the truth that you have been forgiven. And what if you have to ask someone for forgiveness, if you have to ask the Lord for forgiveness, do that with a sense of, I know I can come to my Father because he cares for me. He's already forgiven me. There is restoration. I don't have to wait for the punishment to come. And then number two, think of a time when someone has forgiven you. When someone has forgiven you, do you know that you have received a gift, the gift of forgiveness? Isn't that great when we think of that in terms of, I'm giving you a gift. I'm giving you the gift of forgiveness. Again, I want to just say that cautionary thing. God does forgive deep things, but I'm not saying take what has happened to you or offenses that have occurred to you as lightly. If you have been abused or those kind of things, they are deep, deep works of the heart. But, you know, Christ, when we ask for forgiveness, Jesus does forgive us. And when a brother comes to us and asks our forgiveness, I think it would be just be very prudent not to think, I wonder if he really means it or she really means that. That's between them and God. When they come to you and ask your forgiveness, give it. Ask the Holy Spirit to give it. And you freely give it to others as well. Because in a small group and community, I know the way it works in our house. And then usually how we operate at home is probably the way we live our life in larger community as well. And so know your own heart, know your own ways, and know when you look deep into your heart, when you look and ask the Lord to see if there be any wicked way in you, know that there's already forgiveness. And so just bring that to him and walk it out with joy and love. Receive that with joy. You know, our old nature sometimes deceives us into thinking, oh, I'm doing pretty good. I forgive pretty easily. When Mr. Chris comes to me and says, do you forgive me? Within 10 minutes, I probably say, okay. Sometimes maybe it takes 30 minutes, but it's pretty good. You know, in the grand scheme of things, or sometimes, you know, I could think, I'm not irritable. I just have high standards, you know. You know, or, oh, you know what? It's okay that I was really cranky today because I had a hard day. You know, everybody's like that. Just, you have to also forgive yourself when you realize, I've been kind of operating under a delusion that I'm doing a little better than I think I'm doing. And then allow the Lord to forgive you too. Just don't carry that and think, oh, I'm the worst person in the world. Don't post it on Facebook. I needed to be forgiven 10 times today, you know, get all the likes. Ephesians 4, I think, Carolyn, I don't know if you read that, but be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Forgiveness is a work of the heart. the heart that is soft and tender and kind, and practice living a life of forgiveness. Maybe one of the thoughts about the 70 times 7 is that when we do it often enough, when we practice, we forget to count. Because you're so busy practicing, the number, the sheet's gone. The other thing I thought we could talk about today is serving one another. In Mark 10:45, we read, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many." We agree that Jesus modeled a servant leadership lifestyle for us. And when we look at his life, we realize how he did that and what manner he did that. First of all, he was humble because he lived in the certainty that his glory, his identity came from God. So when we serve one another, let's think about it and doing it in such a ways that we don't need to be the center of attention because we've done that. And I'm not saying anybody, I haven't seen anybody here do that, but I have seen people do that. Not here, but, and I thought, that always kind of puts a little color on what you've done. When you're right away standing there and thinking, oh, I hope someone noticed that. I want to mention this morning that Jason McMitchell served so many people in such a loving and cheerful way. And it was really hard for a moment for me to even receive that serving because I thought, what's he doing? That's my job. I should be doing all this for myself. And he just kept serving and serving and being so cheerful when he did it. And he never said to me, Chris, do you realize I've done something for you 4 times today? And then I've helped Mark and I helped Chris. And nope, he didn't do that. I just counted for him. So I don't know, I probably counted wrong. But he did it in such a cheerful way. And I, part of serving is receiving service from others. You know, Peter had to learn that. Jesus washed his feet and he said, no, don't do that to me. But Jesus said, well, if I don't, you'll have no part of me. So again, as in the forgiveness thing, we have to allow others to serve us. Not in such a way that we put up our feet, have our, you know, Starbucks in our hand, and just sit there and think, wow, this feels so good. No. But sometimes it is really hard to receive someone serving you. And especially if that person, if that's their love language, you have to let them do that. I'm going to read the love language of serving. People who have acts of service as their love language, primary love language, are, and these are powerful expressions of love and devotion. So when we say to someone, you can't serve me, we're shutting down their love language to us. They cook meals, they set the table, wash dishes, vacuum, take out garbage, mow the grass. All of those are acts of service. And the people whose primary love language is that, when you don't receive those, it's like, oh no, you shut them down. And and those of us who maybe it's not Mr. Chris does acts of service. But you know what? There are times, I'm sure, when he appreciates when I serve him. Because when the kids were young and all of that, I would say to him, hon, what would you, 2 things can't happen at once. When you come home today, you have to choose either a good meal cooked or a clean house. He always chose the good meal. And then he helped me clean up. But he loved, he said, thank you for the meal, no matter, and sometimes when I come, when we both are home, he says, thank you for making the bed this morning. Not that I don't make it almost every morning, but he just appreciates that so much. You know, he loves also receiving acts of service. And we are called to serve each other. Galatians says, for you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So there's freedom to receive and give service. Freedom is not just sit there and take it. Or acts of service, be the boss and don't allow anyone else into your service, thinking, you know what, I can do this way better myself. Yesterday, we were raking leaves with our little grandson, and it was play. What would have taken us maybe 20 minutes, Chris and I, to do, took 3.5 hours to do. But at the end of the playtime, Gunner helped us put the leaves in. As many fell in, fell out. But we invited him into the process of working and serving one another together. So I want to take this moment to thank all of the volunteers that are serving all of us at Cornerstone Church. Sometimes, you know, we see the greeters. When the Sunday school teachers leave, we see them. But you know what? There are people who make coffee for us. And are not so noticed. And our sound technicians, I thought today, where would we be without them? And so thank you for all the volunteers here. But can we think about what else needs to be done here? In this transition time, you know, we had 4 pastors on staff that went from Airdrie to Calgary, Calgary to Airdrie, and now the team is cut in 2. So not everything that we had, we have. We want to thank Emily very much for stepping in and taking up the leadership for our youth. It's fantastic, and she does it with joy, and who else? And Ben, thank you, Ben. And they do it with so much grace and love and fun, and I think a real sense of adventure for the kingdom, you know? And we have Ed and Carolyn stepping in into helping us, leading us more in worship. But you know what? I realized, because Sister Esther prayed for that so much on our Wednesday night prayer, we don't have a men's ministry going right now. Thanks to Jacqueline, we have a woman's ministry. We don't have a young adults ministry right now. And in every area that you see people serving, we could always use more people serving. So part of this today was just an exhortation to take inventory and say, where can I serve? I've had to, Pastor Barry asked me to shift where I'm serving into different areas and letting some things go so that others could step in and we make room for one another. We serve one another. And we do it with joy, not grudgingly. That's one of the things, key things we did in preschool, is saying, you know, God wants us to do it with a great attitude and a cheerful heart. Have you been served at a coffee place where you think, I'm really sorry I asked for cream in my coffee? You know, I should have just stuck to one sugar and not everything else. You know, we were served. I received my coffee, but the way I received the coffee almost made that delicious drink not very delicious. And I'm thinking, let's serve one another with joy, with gratitude. Let's allow other people to serve you when that moment comes, and that's your thing. You thrive on acts of service, and someone comes along and says, I'd like to help you. Allow them to help you, and help them be the best that they can be. You know, just it's that working together, and then the world will see how we love each other through those, how we are so quick to say, yes, I forgive you, or go and say, or serve. That when we're talking at work, I don't know, I'm sure you don't do that, but other people who aren't Christians probably know our life inside the church. And when you say things like, oh, we're always looking for volunteers, that kind of leaves a little bit of a, I really? In the church, you need volunteers too? Or, you know, I really struggle with that person. It's just our personalities don't mesh. Oh, really? I thought in church maybe that would be different. I know people, we're still people, but we can model being filled, so much filled with Jesus and his love, that we give that agape love that is a decision. I will love you. I will serve you. I will do it with joy. I will do it the way Jesus did because he first loved me, first received that love. If you hear anything else today, fill yourself up so much with the love of God by spending time with him, by digging in his word, that you can't but help yourself, that it'll just ooze out of you no matter where you go. And so I would just ask in the closing moments of the service, allow the Holy Spirit just to look through your heart and see, is there a place that Holy Spirit that you're asking me to open up myself, to yield myself more? Should I be just a little bit quicker in forgiving others? Do I need to be just a little bit quicker in asking forgiveness? Have I served you to the best of my capacity here? Do I need to allow others to do that? Maybe I'm stepping in someone's way because I just love this one thing so much and I do it so well. So let's, as the worship team comes up, let's just allow the Holy Spirit to look through our hearts, and when I'm going to come up and pray and read a word of prayer exhortation over you, because you know what? The Lord loves us. Know that you are loved.